Today is March 12th, 2009, and this is Apple Weekly Report, episode number 142. That's 100 more than the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And this is a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, one of the guys here. And to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit MacObserver.com/AWR. Jeff, we're not off to a good start. But if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AWR at MacObserver.com. Golly.
Okay, and for those of you playing at home, that's AWR at MacObserver.com.
I know what the problem is.
The problem is we're not used to podcasting 2 weeks in a row.
No, I think the real problem is that I counted us off to start recording with a waltz tempo.
You did.
I did. It's like one and two and three. Grab your partner and do the waltz. What the hell is that coming from?
I don't know, but just so you know, since this is an audio podcast, not a video podcast, everyone just missed me actually waltzing back and forth in my chair to the beat you were providing.
Oh, that's glorious. Speaking of beats that I provide, you went to Austin this week, right?
I did. I went to Austin, first time in my life, and I really liked it. It was a nice place.
And what did you do there?
You're just setting me up so good. That's awesome. I was there speaking at the Cap Mac user group, and they were a fantastic group of people. Dude, they meet in a pub.
I think that's why they get so many people that show up for the meetings.
Probably. They were a fantastic group. I set them up with their own Twitter hashtag. Uh-huh. So if you're ever tweeting about Cap Mac, the hashtag is #CapMac. And they loved that I did that, so that was really cool. And I coined a new term while I was there, and that's Austin Water.
Referring to the river? The lake?
No, referring to Guinness. Mm. See, the deal is I live in Denver, substantially higher altitude than Austin. Mm-hmm. So a lot more oxygen in Austin, and I found that when I go to lower altitudes, I have a higher tolerance for alcohol. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've actually conducted my own scientific experiments on myself to test this.
you're so generous of spirit.
You know, someone's got to take one for the team, and it might as well be me.
Might as well.
Yeah. So anyhow, as it turns out, everyone noticed that I was drinking Guinness and not water while I was speaking, and I pointed out that to me, this was like water. So I really appreciate the Austin water.
that's good, I think. What did you present on, by the way? Unlike everything else that we've talked about, this one I don't actually know.
Oh, okay. I was talking about tools you can use to edit images without having to spend the price that it costs to get Adobe Photoshop.
You said
because
tool.
Not everyone can afford Photoshop.
You said tool.
I said tool.
That's awesome, though. That's actually a really good topic. That's probably a topic that you can speak on frequently and often. So if you are in a mug and you want to fly Jeff out to talk at your mug, contact us at awr@macobserver.com.
That's right. You know right where to find us now.
That's right. Speaking of where to find us, I am on Twitter, and we've been getting let me rephrase that. We have both been getting lots of new followers from the podcast. That's fantastic. Thanks, everyone. You can find me at TMO Brian. That's TMOBRYAN.
And you can find me at J Gamet. That's JGAMET.
Sweet.
And so people can go follow us and see all the amazingly interesting and insightful things we have to say throughout the day.
Yeah, I think I talked about my dog going to the vet and having some skin allergies last.
Oh, yes, you did. And I tend to tweet when I travel, and especially when that traveling involves family. So if you're up for some interesting entertainment, I'm actually doing a road trip to Salina, Kansas over the weekend. And yes, there will be family there. No, there's not a Starbucks in the town. And yes, I will be tweeting about it.
One last thing about Twitter. This week, after our last podcast, which was surprisingly only a week ago, Mofar, that's M-O yeah. underscore Far, tweeted us a message pointing us to a video of a teardown of the time capsule. And we retweeted that, but we'll include that link in the show notes. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Yes, we will, now that I know we're going to do that.
So thanks, Mofar. We very much appreciate that. And with that, let's away to the news.
Oh, we're almost away to the news. I just have to point out how cool it is that we have this technology that lets us get these podcasts out, and then people can reply in all these different ways, you know, whether it's Twitter, email. If they know how to track us down at Starbucks, they can say hi, whatever it is. It's just so cool that we have this technology.
It is pretty cool.
I love it.
And like we have, this is kind of a sneak preview. Jeff is working on an article about browser habits.
Yeah, and actually, to give people a little time warp conception of what's going on here, I tweeted this right before we started recording. So if you're listening to this and you're following along on Twitter and you saw people replying to my request for how you use your web browser, well, there you go. This is like a real-time time warp. My head hurts. I am not good at temporal mechanics.
And if you are listening to boy, that's so funny if you're listening to this, which is kind of like, you know, I had a family member who used to ask me things like, are you still here? No, I'm somewhere else, which is why you're asking me the damned question. You nut job, right? Anyway, that's a whole, I have no issues, no lingering angst after, you know, years. Anyway, so the point is, for those listening, if you want to see what Jeff's question was, you can find it on his Twitter page and respond and maybe be a part of his article too.
Yes, please. I would love that. All right, and now we'll go on to the news. Apple was busy this week with announcements. The company is hosting a special media event next week to show off iPhone software 3.0. They released a new iPod Shuffle model. They updated iTunes 8, and it was revealed that Apple filed for a new Apple TV remote control patent. Some substance was added to the Apple Netbook rumors, and the iPhone 3G is coming to Malaysia.
The long-awaited, much-anticipated, and seldom-duplicated media event from Apple is back. Company sent out invitations this week for a media event on March 17th. Now, that is 1 week ahead of a rumored March 24th event, but the event is here. The company sent out invitations for the event to preview iPhone software 3.0, a new version of the operating system that runs both iPod Touches and iPhones. The tagline for the event is, quote, get an advanced preview of what we are building, unquote. And that's probably like the least sexy tagline that Apple has ever put on a media event. But, you know, that's another story. And the company will also be discussing a new software development kit. That's an SDK for developers associated with the new version of the OS. That doesn't even make sense. So it's a new SDK for developers. And the new SDK is for the new version of iPhone software.
Well, that made sense.
That made much more sense.
Yes. And Apple introduced a new version of the iPod Shuffle on March 11th. It has 4 gigabytes of capacity and a voice-over feature that speaks song titles, artists, and playlist names in your choice of 14 languages. It's available in silver or black, and it's also the first Shuffle with the ability to manage playlists. Apple has also changed the Shuffle's form factor back to one that resembles a stick of gum. It's bigger than a stick of Trident, but smaller than a stick of Juicy Fruit. And it has a clip on the back. And the controls are no longer on the Shuffle. They're now contained on the earbud cord. Apple is estimating a playback time of up to 10 hours when the Shuffle is fully charged. The new Shuffle can also speak battery life information along with other status updates to users. The third generation Shuffle sells for $79.
You know, I'm going to miss the old form factor. I thought that was just a genius form factor.
You know, it is really cool.
Yeah, it's still available for $49, which is great.
Right. And, yeah, so you can still get colors other than silver or black.
Yeah, you just can't.
If you go with the old one.
You can't get someone speaking colors. Just saying.
Yes. I was going to go way, way down the wrong rabbit hole with that, but yeah.
Fair enough. Right. Apple released iTunes 8.1 this week. The update delivers 2 security fixes and several other improvements and changes. The first security fix addressed issues that could lead to a denial of a service attack. That's a denial of service attack. And the second issue basically could lead to the disclosure of your iTunes username and password. Both bad things, and they've been fixed. It also added support for the new third-generation iPod Shuffle that Jeff just talked about. It replaced the Party Mix feature with iTunes DJ and improves performance when downloading iTunes Plus songs and more.
I had no idea that you were a biological beatbox. Apple has filed a patent for a wand-based remote control device for the Apple TV. Apple Insider first reported the patent application for a device that could add 3D movement to controlling the Apple TV and replace the current the multi-button remote control that Apple ships with the Apple TV.
Yeah, thanks, Lancashire Witch.
Yes, thank you very much. And the short version of the patent, which was filed back in May of 2008, is that the user would use the wand to control a mouse cursor. The patent application also suggested that gesture-based movements could be used to replace the use of at least some button controllers. Want such a device for your Apple TV? Well, don't hold your breath.
Oh.
Yeah, your lips don't look good when they're blue, Brian. The vast majority of Apple patents never see the light of day in a shipping product. And I'm picturing a Wii remote now.
Yeah, it does sound kind of Wii-like, but we'll maybe get to that in the context machine. Apple will be releasing a netbook in the second half of 2009, but wait, there's more! Not only is it a netbook, it's a touchscreen netbook. This, according to 2 unnamed sources working for 2 companies claiming to be the manufacturer of said device, manufacturers, plural. The Wall Street Journal reported that the device will be coming, but was sparse on details, other than saying it would have a display between 9.7 and 10 inches of touchscreen goodiness. Apple has not announced such a device, but the company's manufacturing partners in Taiwan leak like a sieve.
And have, yes, they do.
Yes, they do, and they've often been the source of leaked information about unannounced and upcoming Apple products or changes and revs and things like that. But those leaks really honestly don't always turn out to be accurate. So stay tuned for more information.
And Malaysian cell carrier Maxis has struck a deal with Apple to distribute the iPhone 3G in the country starting on March 20th. The company is planning on hosting a series of invitation-only launch events at the KL Convention Center. So if you're in Malaysia, head on over to the Maxis website and request your tickets.
And that sound means it's time for the Context Machine, and that is where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
I think we should start off with the Apple media event.
I think that we should actually start off with I'm going to ruin my own joke. This is terrible. What? Who did the damn song for What's Going On? Marvin Gaye.
Yes, right, Marvin Gaye.
I'm going to try that again. I think that we should actually start with Marvin Gaye, because I've always wanted to use What's Going On as the theme song for the Context Machine within the podcast. Every time we say that, What's Going On, I hear Marvin Gaye being all like, cool. But we can't.
Probably because Marvin Gaye is cool.
Yeah, we can't unless we probably wanted to, pay like more money than this podcast will ever generate in licensing fees.
Wow, I suddenly got sad about that. All right, so we'll pretend like we had some Marvin Gaye action going on.
What's going on? That was wow. I'm going to edit that out so the people don't hear it.
I guess that's one way to roll, but I think that really added a lot to the show.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, the Apple media event. Hurrah! iPhone 3.0, yay!
Yeah, and So what's the top feature you would like to see?
The ability to tether my damned MacBook Pro without having to use a third-party application.
You know, I didn't know what your answer would be, but I figured it would be one of two things. And the first would be tethering, and the second was cut and paste.
Cut and paste would be good. Cut and paste would be really, really good. Yeah, cut and paste would really kind of rock. I don't think we're going to see tethering.
I don't think we're going to see tethering, although it wouldn't surprise me if Apple makes sure that whatever hooks they need to have for it to work correctly are there, so that if they ever hammer something out with AT&T and then with carriers in other countries as well, they can flip a magic switch and make that feature available.
Sure. In the meanwhile, I use NetShare, which...
That's what I use.
Which has been fairly reliable, as reliable as a third-party app could be for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've had pretty good luck with it. Here's my NetShare story for you, because you know that was the application that appeared and then disappeared and came back mm-hmm. and then disappeared again. So when it appeared, I didn't download it right away, and then it went away, and so I was all upset. And then I was away from my desk, but still in the TMO Central Towers where I work. I was on a different floor, and I happened to check my iPhone and realize that it's available again. So I actually went running down a flight of stairs to get back to my desk and purchase and download the application as quickly as I could before it disappeared again.
Yeah, I think I actually did the same thing. I didn't go running up your stairs or my stairs, but I did purchase it immediately.
Yeah, it was actually a very aerobic event for me.
So what do you think, though? We're going to see new iPhones at this event also? Is it going to show us what maybe is coming down the line, or is it going to be software only?
You know, I'm wondering if we might see something, or at least get some hints about a new iPhone model, because it would not surprise me if iPhone Software 3.0, whenever it actually ships, which is not going to be next week, mm-hmm. but if that also includes hints about a future iPhone model, I'm betting that there's a likelihood that we will see a new iPhone model again this summer, just like we did last summer and the summer before.
Yeah, I don't really think we're going to see a new model, and I don't think that they will introduce or show or even hint at a new model until they're ready to release it, lest they spoil sales of the current models. So I think it's going to be very much focusing on the SDK and the new features, because that will be really... The media events tend to last really close to an hour, not the hour and a half to 2 hours that a keynote presentation lasts.
All right, so that wouldn't leave a lot of time for hinting at new products.
Not too much. And, of course, Apple seldom, but actually they have on occasion, a rare occasion, hinted. But anyway, they seldom hint. But be that as it may, I think they're going to have their hands full in talking about... the SDK for developers, and then talking about whatever features they're going to be introducing, which will hopefully include that cut and paste.
That would be really nice.
And the push stuff. I think they're going to incorporate the push network that we've been waiting for that's many, 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 many months overdue. I think we're going to see that in this version.
That would be nice also. You know, the reason that I'm thinking there's at least a chance that we might get hints at new iPhone hardware mm-hmm. is because I'm seeing this event as more than just, hey, let's give people a look at what's coming down the pipe. I think this may also be a big statement to Palm, which is, hey, guys, we're out for blood, and we don't care what products you come out with. We're taking the market. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, we know that the Pre is going to be shipping in the near future. And if Apple could launch a preemptive strike to ensure that the Pre does not come out very well once it hits the streets.
Right.
This would be a prime opportunity to make something like that happen.
Maybe, but I don't think they need to show new hardware to do that, because you got to figure, Jeff, because I mean, I like the idea that this event is in part, a middle finger to Palm. I absolutely like that idea. But you got to figure that new iPhone hardware is probably going to be smaller with more storage and a bigger camera.
That would stand to reason.
Right? And it probably isn't going to be radically different in terms of its form factor. It's probably not going to add radical hardware features. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't think Apple needs a new iPhone to do exactly what you just said. But I think that you're exactly right that that's why they're doing it.
You know, okay, so what you did was bring up one of the things that I think makes the Apple such a brilliant device, which is that you can make it even cooler without having to add new hardware to it because you can just do software upgrades to it.
Right.
And so in that sense, I mean, how amazingly great is that to be able to tell people that are considering replacing their Treo with a Pre, well, you know, if you had an iPhone, you don't even have to buy a new phone. You're just going to get all of that stuff and make it like a new phone.
Right.
Oh, and it's not going to cost you anything. How about that?
Well, you know, unlike the venture capitalist that owns part of Palm that said that every single iPhone user is going to like get rid of their iPhone at the end of 2 years to buy a Pre, I don't think Apple has much to worry about in that department.
No, I don't think they have anything to worry about in that department. I mean, look at the number of people like me and you. We bought an iPhone when it came out, mm-hmm. and then when the second generation, the iPhone 3G came out, we went back, even though we still had a year on our contract, renewed our contracts so we could get the iPhone 3G.
While true, but we also needed them for our jobs.
That's true, but look at the number of people that are not in our position where we need to have them for our jobs, or they need to have them for their jobs, where they just really love the technology.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Apple definitely sold a lot of upgrades.
That's true, right. And they know that they have at least two iPhones sold whenever the new model comes out because we have to have them for our job.
Right, and do you know who I am?
I know exactly who you are. You're Brian Fracking Chaffin.
Yes, I am. Speaking of iPod touches, I'll actually just go ahead and eclipse the joke and get straight to the point because it's not that great a joke. I like this version of Apple's going to do a netbook rumor, and I like it because it's touchscreen, and that says to me that it's an iPod Super Touch. End of story.
You know, this is, in my opinion, the first rumor that has any level of credibility,
mm-hmm.
or any reasonable level of credibility, because now it's in the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
But
let me play devil's advocate to that, because I have been a big fan of the Wall Street Journal for many years in terms of their news coverage. I don't care too much for their editorial side, but that's another issue. In terms of the news coverage, I think that the Wall Street Journal provides super solid news. But then there's this guy, Ben Charney. And mm-hmm. his coverage of Apple, he's writing for Dow Jones Newswire, not necessarily under the Wall Street Journal masthead. But he's been doing some really weird things in coverage. Like, you know, I sat behind the guy at the Apple media event the Apple shareholder event. And, you know, he described just a, you know, much darker and more complaining kind of event than I saw. And then he did the same thing there was a research note put out where the analyst lowered his estimates for Apple slightly, I might add, and then went on to stress that Apple was undervalued, saying that, yeah, sure, I'm lowering these estimates, but the company is still undervalued. And we're reiterating our overweight rating for the stock, which basically is the rough equivalent of a buy. Mm-hmm. So Ben Charney for Dow Jones covers it as Wall Street is starting to lose its confidence that Apple can withstand economic downturn. And how do you get that out of what I just described? Because what I just described is accurate. saying that Wall Street is losing their confidence. I mean, it's just it's taking the snippet of lowering the estimates and then coming out with this completely dark and negative conclusion that is not supported by the rest of the research notes. And so anyway, seeing this rumor in the Wall Street Journal makes me think, actually, again, it was a Dow Jones piece, but makes me have a lot more confidence in it. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm not. That stuff from Dan is just driving me nuts.
All right. So that said, what you did was offer an incredibly colorful version of what I was slowly getting around to saying.
I'm sorry, man.
No, it's okay, because now everyone has your perspective on all of this, and now they'll get mine. The rumor, here's my perspective, which takes up far less time, actually. I put more value or more credence in the rumor because it's now in the Wall Street Journal, so that adds a little credibility to what they're saying. However, don't hold your breath for anything, because a rumor is a rumor until Apple releases a product, and I could see Apple not actually doing something like this, not to spite our face, but because they may find that this is not a market that's worth getting into for whatever reason, and come out with something completely different, mm-hmm. and take us in a different direction. And it's not a netbook, but this rumor is being interpreted that way based on what people apparently want to see. And Apple is known for giving us products that we want, we just don't realize it until we see it.
That's true. Or convincing us that we want it once we do see it, one of the two. But actually, I think your wording is more accurate.
So there you go.
And, you know, when it comes to the idea of the company doing a netbook, I mean, the whole idea that netbooks are growing and are going to continue to grow, we covered that piece from TBR that we talked about last week, where that, you know, basically saying that the explosion of netbooks has, you know, completed that process of convincing users that PCs aren't worth anything. And the idea is that netbooks are going to continue to sell, they're going to continue to sell well, and that they're going to become a major part of the computer business. So Apple does probably need to be in that business at some point or another. And the way for them to do that, I mean, it just makes so much sense for it to be an iPod Super Touch, a large iPod Touch that gets on the interwebs, that does email,
right,
and is in no way a competitor to a MacBook or a MacBook Pro. It's just not.
You know, if anyone can create a netbook-type device that's really spot on, my money would be on Apple. Mm-hmm. The netbook devices that I have been looking at, I don't get why people would really want to use one. I can get why people feel they have to use one because they need to have that ultra portability, and, you know, whatever the reason is. Sure, I can see that. But it's not a device that I see people saying, oh my God, I really want that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem, in my opinion, because if you want to really be successful in a market, people need to want your product.
Right.
And I'm just not seeing really compelling reasons to get excited about netbooks right now.
You know, I don't either, Jeff. You and I are, I think, have the same sort of take on that. But, you know, I have talked to people who are excited about them, who love the idea of carrying around something that just surfs the net and does their email. They're just really, really excited about that. And I mean, to me, you know, I don't like the idea of a screen that small, and you know, I mean, like, I wouldn't, I happily surf web pages on my iPhone, but, you know, I wouldn't want to make that anywhere close to the device that I did my primary emailing and web surfing with, because of the screen size, and even bumping it up to 10 inches. It's, I don't know, maybe I'm just too old and my eyes are, my eyesight's going too
far. We'll get you better glasses.
Maybe.
Now, I understand what you're saying, though. The idea, okay, the iPhone and the iPod Touch, I think, are absolutely brilliant devices. And they're devices that I feel comfortable with going on short trips where I don't have to write a lot of articles.
Right.
because I can leave my MacBook Pro behind, mm-hmm. I can travel ultralight, and I can still do most of the things that I need to do for TMO. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to have something that fits in between the iPhone, iPod Touch, and my MacBook Pro for those times when I need something more, but I still don't need the full horsepower, bulk, and weight that goes along with carting my laptop everywhere.
And yet you don't want to pay the expense of the MacBook Air, where you're paying a right. huge premium on the tininess of the device.
Right. And, you know, if I didn't have to do so many of the things that I do away from my desk with the horsepower that I have to have, like when I'm demonstrating a lot of Photoshop stuff.
Sure.
It's nice to have the extra speed that goes along with a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
You know, I could actually get away with, say, a Mac Mini and a MacBook Air.
Right.
But at that point, I'm spending more than buying a MacBook Pro.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, the MacBook Air, I love the MacBook Air, and if I didn't record on my MacBook Pro, I would definitely consider the MacBook Air as a replacement for my MacBook Pro, but I've got to have the FireWire in.
Yep, that's a definite showstopper for you right there.
For me personally, yeah. And of course, that's my needs don't apply to everyone. Anyway, the point is, this MacBook rumor seems to be, I don't know, I feel pretty strongly that these two companies did leak this information. Now, whether or not it bears out will be the real issue, because they weren't positive on features and things like that, which to me says it's still kind of early in the game. So,
right.
Who knows what'll actually happen. I think this device is coming, man.
You know, I hope you're right, because I would really love to see that in between device.
Yep. Yeah. I think an iPod Super Touch would sell really well. I think it would sell really well. They have to hit the right price point on it. But, you know, so far,
right.
the pricing that they've used for the iPhone and the iPod has pretty much been hitting the various sweet spots that they wanted to hit. So I bet they could do it again.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if anyone has the track record, it's Apple.
Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about the new iPod Shuffle?
I do, actually. And what would you have done if I said, no, not really?
Said, okay, take us out.
Okay, see, that would have worked too. But, all right, so since I already said, yeah, let's talk about it. I really want to get one in my hand before I decide if I don't like it, but I'm leaning towards not being overly happy because it requires Apple's own earbuds, which I don't like. Now, that said, Apple is apparently working on their own adapter for third-party earbuds, and other companies are working on them too.
Yeah.
And I guess some companies are already saying, oh, yeah, we're going to actually make earbuds with the little remote in line too, so you don't even have to use an adapter.
Right.
So that's cool. And maybe once I can have an adapter and use the little iPod Shuffle that way, I'll be all excited about it. But I think the form factor is really cool. And the idea of having a device like that, where it doesn't even need to have buttons on the surface,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. But I do, like I said, when we were talking about the news, I do like the form factor of the previous version. That thing just fit. But neither of us have actually held the new gum stick in our hand. So I don't know. We'll probably think it's actually cool when we do see it. And this business with the earphones is going to sort itself out sooner rather than later.
Yes. Yes, it will. And that'll be good, because I know there's people out there that are using the current form factor iPod Shuffle in their cars.
Oh, sure.
And the new model, until you have one of those adapters, you can't use it in your car because you have no way to control it.
Right. Right. And the old ones are still on sale.
They are. And, you know, I actually was considering just going out and buying one of the old ones, because the one that I have, it's silver. It's great. I love it. But I love the colors also. Mm-hmm. And so I've just thought about going out and buying one just so I could have the color.
I still have three that I bought for my groomsmen that I'm such a terrible groom that they didn't get. So you can just have one of theirs. Just don't tell them. And everybody, just don't tell them. But you'll never know.
Well, you haven't given them to
them. It's only been 2.5 years, man. So it's like, it's the, basically, I think it's the original shove. It's it might even only be 500 megs. I can't remember. It's like 500 megs or a gig.
Yeah, so but you know. Small.
But that's the one that's on sale now is still the gig. So you can, but the point is the Apple is keeping both of those on the market. They've got the new ones and they've got the old ones, at least for now.
Right. So my guess is that the old ones will disappear fairly soon.
For sure.
So if you still want one of the old style ones, you should probably go get it fairly soon.
Indeed, and with that, you are going to Comug tonight.
Yes, I am. I'm going to Comug tonight in Boulder.
Yeah. So everybody, if you're listening to this, he's already spoken. Don't.
Yeah. Don't go. You'll be late.
Yeah. Go next month. But be that as it may, you should probably take us out, and you have a great time at Comug, and we want to thank all our listeners for being with us.
Yeah, we actually do, because you guys and gals, every one of you, you rock.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, and that said, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And look, I didn't have any trouble saying it. I don't know what your problem is. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/tmobrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. And when I say good, I mean they are good. And they're also...
We really do have good people.
Yeah. And it's really, it's me and you and John. So I just kind of patting ourselves on the back. Anyway, but our bandwidth is provided by the good people at CashFly. And the bass was recorded by Boom just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.